This is Oklahoma Perspective. More and more acts of terrorism are happening in the U.S. every day. For those who want to try to protect themselves from the unthinkable, it's hard to know where to start. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Aaron Cohen, who spent time in the Israeli Defense Force and also founded a counterterrorism consultant agency in California. Cohen talks about the challenge of terrorism and how you can prepare yourself to protect yourself from it.
You know, I've done a little work on this topic in general and spoken with some experts and ex-special forces people from the U.S. military. And they've explained to me that the paradigm, the game plan, if you will, for tackling an active shooter situation has changed in recent years. It used to be, you know, they would stop and they would help people and they would try to, I don't know, get victims away from the scene first and then contain the situation, go after the bad guy. It's my understanding in recent years, the priority has become get the bad guy out of the picture, get him off the board before you start dealing with victims and that kind of stuff. Is that accord with your training and the programs that you are teaching to these other countries?
It is. It is. It's similar. It's exactly the same as what I was giving to the U.S. 15 years ago when I first started training law enforcement here in the States. Originally, the U.S. response was to wait for a special weapons and tactics team or a special response team to show up if there was only one or two patrolmen there, and then allow these specially equipped and specially trained SWAT type of units make the entry and then go on and take down the threat. But they realized over years and years of these active shooters that the sooner you neutralize the threat, the sooner he can stop killing, in a sense. And so the U.S. ended up flipping their tactics, and organizations like FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, and SWAT teams across the country ended up retraining their patrol officers to essentially act as one and two man SWAT team responders, if you will. They began equipping them with AR type of rifles and with ballistic gear and with direct to threat training, which is what they call it. And that therefore the officers can get to the scene, get their gear on really quickly, and then go inside and start looking for work, and with the purpose of being to subdue and ultimately neutralize the active shooter so he's no longer an active threat. He becomes an inactive or a passive threat. This is exactly what I teach. This is exactly the way we teach it in Israel. And I continue to teach it to U.S. law enforcement here. And this is similar to what I teach overseas to the foreign units that I've begun to work with. But it's just a piece of what I teach them now. I'm working with units and helping to create an entire special operations capability for not just reactive and defensive operations or preventative for reactive measures, but for preventative operations as well, or deterrence operations, which then consists of what we call offensive operations. So how do we go after the terrorists? How do we go after the terrorist leadership?
We're being proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah, we can't wait. You know, the reason why there's not a lot more terrorism in Israel is because units like Duke Devon exist. We've essentially carried the weight of the terrorist hunting and operations for the last, I would say, 30 years. And we weren't very good at it when we started. It's something that we became good at. And so all the lessons and all the mistakes that we've made is part of what makes me want to teach these partner countries so that they don't make the same mistakes that we did.
You're listening to Oklahoma Perspectives. I'm Russell Mills. We're on with Aaron Cohen, a leading counterterrorism expert who served with the Israeli Defense Force in a special counterterror unit called Duv Devon. I saw, I read the bio material that that your folks sent to us, and it talked about the Netflix show Fauda.
Yes.
I saw that show. Brilliant show that I think did as good a job as I've seen, at least in fictional television, a sort of spelling out the incredibly complex personal and political considerations that go into split-second decisions made by people in extreme duress. I mean, it's, and I know that it's based on stuff that really happens. I've seen some of the videos about Duv Devon and you know what these folks do. This is not Hollywood, although you have some Hollywood experience. You mentioned growing up in L.A. You kind of skipped the part where you were hanging around with Brad Pitt and Arnold Schwarzenegger. So you were doing protective services for them, or?
Yeah, let me talk about FAUDA. So FAUDA was created by a former member of Duke Devon, which is my unit. And just like me, he had worked as a Hollywood bodyguard for many years before moving back to Israel and ultimately creating this one of the top shows on Netflix, not just in English or not just for the Western world, but for all of the Arabic-speaking world as well. Lior Raz, one of the co-creators of the show, grew up with an Algerian father, an Israeli-Algerian father, so he grew up speaking Arabic in the house. And so a lot of the writing is in Arabic, and a lot of the acting is in Arabic, and that's opened up the show to the entire Middle Eastern world. So, you know, even if you hate Israel, you still love the show because it's really entertaining. And so the show is based on a version of Duke Devon. It's a little scaled down, and it's obviously fictionalized for creative purposes, but it certainly has shown the world Israel's plainclothes capabilities. And our plainclothes unit, known as the Mista Aravim, is what we refer to them as in Hebrew, literally means Arabist, or to be undercover as an Arab. The unit was created in the late 80s after the first Intifada, because our special forces units were just getting hammered. They were in so much trouble trying to go get these terrorists because these neighborhoods would erupt. So I don't know if you remember the movie Black Hawk Down.
Absolutely. In Somalia.
You got an entire city that burns down and starts cornering these fighters and these operators or these operatives. What do you do? So the heads of the IDF sat down and said, look, we need to come at this in a different way. We need to be creative. So what happened was they ended up creating my unit, which is a commando capable Arabic speaking unit, which is able to essentially blend into those neighborhoods dressed as laborers, dressed as old men, even dressed as women. And that enables them to essentially blend in between the raindrops and then be able to infiltrate those terrorist neighborhoods undetected to keep the riots from exploding for the purpose of being able to then hunt down high value targets and then dissolve back into the neighborhood and exfil before anyone knows we're there. And so the show, I think, does a really good job of highlighting that. So what we've begun to do is give these types of capabilities to these foreign units, and essentially, which allows them to have the audacity to be able to conduct these types of operations. And so digressing back to Hollywood, I was in the security business for a long time before I started off on the training business. And I sat in Schwarzenegger's house. I sat in Pitt's house, worked with a bunch of celebrities doing state protection is what we refer to it as, which is the most boring job in the world. But I had to pay the bills. I had to pay the bills at the time, and I'm grateful to have gotten to work with these actors. And now turning this thing around full circle to 2019, one of the things I've started to do is I started to actually tech advise on films in between my training projects. So I call it bullets to blanks. And ended up getting hired by Steven Soderbergh for a film called Haywire back in 2011 with Channing Tatum and Gina Carano. Mm-hmm. Ended up training the actors for the film and just trying to make it look real and cool. And I've worked on about 5 films since then. I've done some stunts. I've done some acting. It's a lot of fun. Love the Hollywood stuff. I do think that the arts are important, especially in such an intense world that I come from. It definitely helps chill you out. So it's been a lot of fun kind of crossing over into both worlds.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking in your security line of work, maybe boring is good. Just saying, because if it's not boring, it's probably not good. And by the way,
the problem in security is you only get remembered for your one screw-up.
For the one thing that went wrong. Good point.
Yeah, correct.
And then having spent a little time on film sets, I will say there may not be a more boring occupation because you spend hours sitting around, hurrying up to get somewhere to sit around and wait for hours and do nothing, and then it's all frenetic activity for about 15 minutes, and then you sit. At least that was my experience.
Sets are an interesting animal.
They are.
No question about it. A lot of waiting around, a lot of hurry up and wait for a couple of explosive moments, but who doesn't love movies, right?
Oh, well, I do. I will confess. All right, so let's get back to a little bit about, you know, here in the United States, obviously, we have a different security situation than they have in Israel. Well, we have a security situation, and the FBI itself has come out several times and said, look, our biggest problem right now is domestic terrorism is, far right neo-fascist kind of terrorism. That's the biggest threat to Americans right now, really. Although, militant Islam gets the headlines. So is it a similar approach there? Infiltrate, try to get inside, try to work the situation, because it's not the kind of situation where you're just sending people out randomly into the streets to keep an eye on what's going on.
Well, I believe that security, based on my training in Israel, is universally the same, whether it's protecting a school, a synagogue, a church. The motive behind what causes the act of threat may change. The act of threat and the way it's carried out doesn't. So as long as the protocols that are being used to actively investigate, like you were saying, the FBI, which involves essentially penetrating cells, whether it's terror cells or right-wing fanatic cells, the data collection is the same. The signal intelligence is the same. The human intelligence gathering is the same. Building sources and building assets to feed you information to prevent and thwart a possible attack is the same. They're very similar systems. And, the FBI has always been pretty good at, doing what the FBI does, which is collecting data and then disseminating that data to stop a potential attack. I don't know how deep and how far the threat has entrenched itself on the far right, as you say. But we'll see how it plays out over the next 5 years and whether or not more resources need to be put into that box. But the U.S. has certainly learned a lot more about terrorism, and the U.S. military has been at it now for 19, almost 20 years, I guess, since 9/11.
Yep.
And, Israel's not alone in this anymore. So everybody's learning a lot, unfortunately, very quickly.
Your company, Cherries, which, by the way, why Cherries? Why not pomegranates or something?
Cherries is the name of my unit in Israel. It's the informal nickname. In Israel, all of the special forces units are considered the cream of the crop, and the cherry is what goes on top.
On top of the cream. Gotcha. Okay, so you're the Cherries.
It's a bad nickname that's stuck for 30 years. And so
it's distinctive. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, it either sounds like a new grunt who just got through basic training, or it's a highly trained special operations Israeli operative,
or a punk band. I mean, you can go a lot of ways with
definitely pops. So for training, it works.
You can go a lot of ways with Cherries. You're listening to Oklahoma Perspectives. I'm Russell Mills. We're on with Aaron Cohen, a counterterror expert who served with the Israeli Defense Force, with the IDF, and now teaches those tactics here in the United States to law enforcement and to military and to governments around the world. My question about the company is, so you're training other governments and giving them some of this knowledge and this experience that you've gained over the years. And obviously you've got people working with you that help you with that. But what about like United States corporations or school districts or cities? Is the training available for them as well? Because as we mentioned earlier,
we do.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we do. I have an entire, so there's different types of training that we offer, or different levels of the training that we offer. Obviously, what we're providing to foreign militaries wouldn't be the same thing that we would provide to a corporation or to a school looking to protect itself. But over the last 2 years, I developed an entire online digital training platform, which is on my website at cherriescounterterror.com. And essentially what I've got up there is hours of digital training for schools, for churches, for synagogues, for corporations, looking from everything from active shooter response training to behavioral detection training for your security, which is very on par to the security methods used by El Al, Israel's national airline carrier. We're looking for behavior. We're not looking for guns. We're not looking for weapons. The behavior is what will determine whether or not a potential murderer is standing in front of you. So essentially it's lie detection. So I offer behavioral detection training on there. And then about 15, 20 courses total throughout the website. And it's, I sell them at $100 a pop. It's super affordable. I've been selling this training to law enforcement across the United States very effectively. U.S. law enforcement has to get a certain amount of post-academy hours a year. And, you know, initially digital was a little skeptical because it's, you know, you're learning from a video, but as we've seen with YouTube, there's so much, there's more and more great content going out there. So I just sort of jumped on that wave, pre-recorded a bunch of great inside stuff that I'd learned over the last 20 years. And then that way I could kind of be everywhere without having to go everywhere. And so this was a way for me to get to more people. It was something that was very difficult for me to figure out. How do I get to all these different places and make it affordable? The internet has done that. So it's been pretty incredible.
And one would imagine your contacts that you've made in the film industry were a big help in putting those videos together. It wasn't like you were shooting in the dark here. You know, you had some background. You've been on sets.
I wasn't shooting in the dark. I definitely was able to, I had met some editors that helped me cut. I had met some camera guys that were able to shoot for me. There's no question about it. I was able to get better quality stuff, and be able to produce better quality content because of what I'd learned here in Hollywood over the last 10 years, for sure.
Well, listen, this is all very interesting. For your average listener who maybe owns a gun, maybe doesn't, who's sitting at home and listening to this and thinking, yeah, the world's a scary place. What do you tell somebody like that who's probably never going to get this training? But what's your takeaway for somebody on the elevator when you say, "Yeah, this is what I do," and they say, "Oh gosh, Aaron, what should I do if something happens?"
I get asked that question a lot.
I'll bet you do.
At the end of the day, you're your own personal protection agent. You're your bodyguard. So if you know, protecting yourself is something that you really take seriously and it's something that you want to be able to do properly, then you would want to get as much training as you can. If you do own a firearm, I strongly recommend loading up on as many courses as you can take. And there's a lot of great trainers out there. There's a lot of great concealed carry courses out there. If you don't want to concealed carry your firearm, but you want to keep it in your home for defense, there's a lot of great home defense courses. So that you can safely use that firearm in your home if you had to. Load up on training. You can never learn enough. And part of that training should not just include home defense, but should also make sure that things like being safe in your vehicle while driving, situational awareness is a big one, knowing how to look for red flag indicators, and then knowing what to do in the event that you're attacked. Make sure that the training that you get is conducive for functioning under stress. What happens is,
go ahead.
The low brain takes over the high brain.
Yep.
And everything that we know or think we know, which is complicated and technical, gets overridden immediately under stress when there's a chemical dump of cortisol and epinephrine and adrenaline, and everything goes to low brain function. So make sure that the training that you're getting is designed to be low brain response training so that it's behavioral based. It's actually how your body is going to behave and respond. Make sure you load up on training courses that are going to mirror that the actual behavior of how your body is going to respond. Flexed, tight, breathing gets cut down, tunnel vision, auditory exclusion. There's great trainers out there for all of that. Get that behavioral based training.
Do you subscribe to the run, hide, fight sort of paradigm for people? You know what I'm talking
about. Unarmed, yes. Yeah, if you're unarmed, yeah, absolutely. Run really fast, hide and have cover, and then fight if you have to. Absolutely. If you're armed and you're law enforcement, it's tricky. If you're armed, I would say the same thing. You know, don't fight if you don't have to. Like, just get away. Absolutely. Don't be a static target. Move.
Counterterrorism expert Aaron Cohen. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Burt Williams.